Greetings, Tejo Bedick, Lord of Razzball Fantasy Sports, here again today, joined by Viz, my partner. I'm Carl Malone, he's Stockton, or am I Stockton, he's Malone, but we're also joined by Jeff Hornacek, a.k.a. Stanson, the first time I've had the pleasure of speaking with him on a live call. Yes. I've been a follow of his, follower of his, if I could speak, for many years, following his great work. Now we have him here to discuss his top 100 players on Razzball.com, the greatest fantasy sports website I've ever read, I've ever been a part of, I've ever heard about. So he's going to break down everything we want to know. We've got some questions for him, some points we're going to make, and see how he responds and if he can back up his rankings. Guys, what's going on?
What's going on, Tio? Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Stan, take it over.
It's good to have the basketball boss man on again with us. I guess with me again is the first time with Tao. Yeah, your rankings are out. You know, football season started now, and it's time to start drafting basketball and hockey teams. So what better time than now to start looking at your rankings? You might as well just start right at the top. I mean, the first time we talked together, we thought that Giannis was probably going to be who you're going to have number one overall. You ended up putting him there. Did you debate much over it? I know you mentioned in your rankings that you thought, you know, Durant, Curry, Towns all were worth considering. Did you debate long over it, or did you just think Giannis at the end of the day was not necessarily a clear-cut number one, but the guy you felt best about?
It was basically a pretty heated debate between him and Towns. I think, you know, Towns does everything, and I think the position that he plays at, you know, that's, I mean, center is not that deep. You know, I think there's a pretty big drop off after the top tier, right? So you're either grabbing a top tier or you're just going to wait, and then you have to get the guys, you know, basically punting free throws and things like that. So, I wouldn't hate anybody if they went with Cat number one. I just love Giannis. Yeah, he's just, I mean, what, last year, top 20 of field goals, free throws, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, points, field goal percentage. Like, it's insane. He does everything. You know, he's been in the league, 3 years? Like, he's going to get better. And so basically, his one Achilles heel is the 3-point shot. And I think that's going to get better because for the last 3 years, the 3-point attempts, the makes, and the percentage have all increased. So, you know, I could definitely, like, once he gets that in, then it's like a consensus number one, you know, and then the multi-position eligibility, right? Like, so here's my question for you, right? Right now, he's at small forward and power forward, but last year he was also at point guard, shooting guard. But to start the season, he's only a small forward, power forward. I don't understand why they don't just have him at all four. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's one of those things that bothers me all the time, where like it takes like a week into the season for them to finally update their positions.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get minutes there when Brogdon's not on the floor. Depending on how you look at it, I mean, he's going to have the ball more than Brogdon even is. So you could even say he's a point guard de facto, you know, in general in their opening lineup. I'm with you, though, mostly because he's going to give you as many blocks as Towns is, if not more. So you're getting those extra assists and steals. The field goal percentage is going to be out the same. So you're sacrificing, I don't know, a half a three a game and a few rebounds. I'll take the extra steals and assists for me. I don't know. If you had the first pick, Tejo, would you go with Giannis or would you go with somebody else?
I don't know, man. I've been so obsessed with Towns lately. I mean, I've just been, like, watching this guy play. I feel like if this was, like, 5 years ago or so, 10 years ago, before the NBA became what it... Well, I guess he wouldn't be shooting threes back then, but, I mean, this is the first dude at center who I could see dropping, like, 30 a game. I guess Adam Butler to the mix, if anything, could take away from his stats, is what I'm feeling a little bit. But can Giannis, can he take the step offensively? Can this guy go to 20, to 25 plus a game. I mean, and still keep the other stats relatively high, like LeBron style. I'm feeling like the points can come up. I see a projection from Slim at 21. I'm feeling like this is the year he maybe just becomes a full blown.
I mean, he averaged almost 23 last year. I don't see why. Like, he's still 22 years old, which is like sickening to think about. They're both so absurdly young and probably going to be the top two picks for at least a couple years going forward. I mean, it's hard to argue with either. What Towns did in the second half last season was insane. I guess, like, the only thing is Towns played 37 minutes a game last year. I mean, that's probably going to happen again just because that's what Thibodeau does. But, you know, Giannis, he was at 35, maybe he gets up to 37 too, and you just see a little uptick.
His usage rate was 28%, which is pretty low for a superstar. So, like, I could see that going up into the 30s, and if it does, like, that's sick. And then,
Like, he shot 27% from three. Like, if that gets to 33, now he's making a three a game. Now he's making a three with a steal and a half and two blocks a game. Like, if either one.
I've heard some people put in Giannis at one, so it's out there. Yeah, there's definitely people out there doing it.
I mean, I think if he does one of two things, whether he gets the 3-point percentage up, so he's making like one a game, or he just gets his free throw percentage to like in the 80s from 77.
Yeah,
like that's enough right there for me to get him. Like, he's already at 23, 8, 5.5. 1.6 steals, 1.9 blocks, shooting 52%. Like, it's so absurd what he's doing. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you having him one. And, you know, you said you considered Towns at one as well.
I did.
But you put him fourth.
I did put him fourth,
Is it just because – why did you have Durant and Curry ahead of him?
I just thought about it. I just feel like I feel like the Warriors are going to go for history. I know Teal hates the Warriors, so it's probably gonna, you know, he's probably gonna start puking. But you know, just the pace that they play at, and just the ridiculous numbers that they can put up. Like, if they really do go for the juggler, because I think they realize like their window's pretty low, or their window's pretty small, because Klay, he's gonna be gone in a few years, like no doubt about it. So, you know, the complexion of that team is going to change. So the core that they have, like, you know, they need to do it. And, you know, the last time they went for the record, I think they learned from that experience, right? And so, you know, like, they're going to know what to expect, how to deal with everything. And so, you know, with that experience and taking things to another level, that's why I put those two guys ahead of them. But, like, yeah, that top four is pretty interchangeable for me. Yeah.
Those are the four in starting with, like, Kawhi's, like, tier two, basically, for you.
I think so.
It makes sense. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Golden State is so good. Like, they might chase the record just not even trying for it.
Yeah.
Like, they might just stumble into winning. Oh, we're on pace to win 70. Let's try to get 74. Like, it's, I don't know. It's like insane and stupid at the same time how good that team is. We don't
how big of a joke it is that they were allowed to how Durant left his team that should have beat them to go there to make just a team that's not even I can't even bear to watch this garbage. I mean, it's like pickup basketball. I mean, it's the best play. I mean, people find I've been saying for years. I mean, Durant is anybody would take Durant over Curry that's starting a team. Well, he's winning MVPs, but like Durant is Curry, but he's 6'10 or 6'11 or whatever. He shoots just as well, basically almost, and he's improved his game. I hate Kevin Durant. I don't want to talk about it. But, so is the reason a guy like LeBron, like, what's his consensus rank? Is a guy like, am I really? You guys are more in tune with where people are getting drafted. I mean, am I really going to take, like, trust in a Jokic or take a Jimmy Butler over LeBron? Is that because we're thinking he's just going to play way less minutes and take games off type of thing?
I mean, I'm assuming, like, it's also the free throw percentage. Yep. Like, his free throws have just gone down the drain. I don't know what happened, but, I mean, he shot 67% last year. That actually, like, that's what Rudy Gobert shoots, basically. Like, that's going to hurt you, and he is going to sit some games. So I assume that's why he's a second-round pick for us, at least.
For sure.
You, and I would agree with that. Yeah. I don't know about where anyone else is going to have him. So to go back to your top 10 quick, I mean,
yeah,
you have Chris Paul ahead of Westbrook and Harden both, which I assume is going to be controversial to some people.
For sure.
Is that mostly a turnover factor? You know, Paul is very efficient with the ball, where the other two guys are going to bury you in turnovers every week.
You know, it's like,
on the other hand, Paul's an injury risk.
True.
Compared to the other two. That's the only thing, but no, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you know, like turnovers, yeah, it's a category, but honestly, like, you know, when you're, choosing between the top guys, turnovers really doesn't matter. Like, if they're going to put up numbers like, you know, Harden and Westbrook. My thing, and I know I'm probably going to be the only person that's putting Paul ahead of those two. I'll start off with the other guys, and then I'll come back to Paul. With Westbrook, you know, he had his FU tour last year. You know, that was like, he was stat chasing. Like, he just wanted to put it to everybody. I think it's going to get toned down this year. You know, he's still going to put up numbers, but I don't think he's going to go straight balls to the wall. And, you know, obviously with the additions of Patterson and Paul George, right? Like, you know, he's got to understand, like, in order to win, like, he can't have, what did he have, like, over 40% usage rate? Like, right? It was stupid, right? Like, you know, like, it's cool to do the Kobe, you know, thing, you know, for a year. But, you know, if you really want to, like, win and do some stuff, like, you know, you're going to have to, like, tone it down. Like, you know, like, I play some ball, and, like, when you're playing with a guy that's a black hole like that, like it's cool, you know, but really, like, it kind of sucks playing with that guy, right? Because, like, you can never get into a rhythm, right? You just end up, like, just, like, ball watching and things like that. So it's, like, kind of dumb, like, from a team perspective. So I think his mentality changes to some degree. In terms of Harden, like, Paul is the alpha dog on that team now. And I don't care what anybody says, but, like, Paul, like, okay, first, he's, like, 5 years older. They've had experience on the Olympic team, right? And just the personality that Paul is, like, he's not going to, like, just, like, he's going to be the man. He's not, you know, taking being second fiddle to anybody else, right? And so Harden, when Paul's on the floor, he's going to be a spot-up shooter to some degree, right? And which is fine, right? Because he's really good at that. When Paul sits, then I think Harden, that's when he's going to get his opportunity to do his thing, right? And because of that, yeah, I think his usage is going to come down. So that's pretty much what it comes down to. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, that, I was just going to say, like, no, so I assume both of those guys are going to play, say, I don't know, 35 minutes a game.
35 minutes
but
a game.
But they're also going to stagger.
They're going to stagger.
So that means they're playing out of those 35 minutes each. 13 each are going to be separate. So they're going to end about 20 minutes. So about half the game they're going to be out there together. I don't know your thoughts, Tao. I mean, I think they have the upside to be the second best team in
but the conference.
I don't know. To start the season, maybe they're going to have some difficulties just working it out between the two of them.
Those are two guys.
The Rock.
Paul's had the Rock in his hands his entire
couple of years. It's been the Harden show. So
the Harden show.
I don't know what you're thinking on.
Yeah, it's an odd signing, in the fact that Harden was just so incredible distributing the ball last year. I have never in my lifetime of watching NBA basketball, which I've been a diehard fan since as long as I can remember. I was in Hawaii during the OJ case watching the Rockets and the Knicks play in the NBA Finals. Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, I could John Starks, what's going on for days, Vernon Maxwell, I'm a historian. But I've never seen anyone just transform like that to the point where, what did he average, 12 assists or something like that last year? I mean, or 11, 12 assists. I mean, it's insane. I've never seen anything like that. But now he's adding arguably, probably in my mind, the best passer in basketball to that. So, like, how does this work out? Does he go back to shooting even more often than before? Mm-hmm. Obviously, his usage percentage will go down.
Right.
It's cool. I mean, I think they'll be better, obviously, but I mean, are they good enough to beat Golden State? Absolutely
right.
Not.
I mean, nobody really is. I mean, it was interesting. He shot 41% from three last year, Paul, which was a career high. Made 2 threes a game. You know, maybe he does end up, you know, end game. That's what it's going to come down to at the end of the games. Like, is Paul and Harden going to alternate? Is it going to depend on the day? Is Harden going to be the dominant guy? And
it's going to be Paul. It's CP3. There's no question in my mind. There's no question. Because, you know, I mean, look. Okay, so first of all, like the pace that the Rockets play at, like they're one of the fastest paced teams. So there's going to be opportunities. There's going to be fantasy goodies galore for everybody, right?
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, like last year in the playoffs, like you saw the weakness of that offense, right? So the Spurs basically did the, you know, laid out the template, right? You just stay with the 3-point shooters and just make them shoot three, the mid-range, right?
You leave your center just sitting in the paint and blocking the rim and make them shoot mid-range.
Yeah. Which is, and Paul, he's the best mid-range or one of the best mid-range, you know, shooters in the game, right? So, you know, I do think that there might be some more, you know, dribble handoffs or a little more motion where, you know, Paul comes, breaks down the D in the middle, you know, guys start cutting a little more rather than just standing around, which I think would be advantageous for Harden, right? Because there's going to be so many seams to drive. But, yeah, there's no question in my mind. It's CP3 is going to have the ball, and Harden, like in crunch time, Harden's going to be second fiddle. Yeah,
right. It's interesting because you know, most people are going to assume Harden's like the better 3-point shooter, but Paul actually, you know, has shot better throughout his career than Harden has from three, and he's a great catch and shoot guy. So I don't know. D'Antoni's good enough to make it work. You know, I have no problem with you putting Paul ahead of him. Specifically because of the assists. The assists are just so hard to get. And, you know, Westbrook will probably keep those assists, but Paul's not having the turnovers. He's not repeating 10 rebounds a game either. Again, like, that's not going to happen with George there and everyone else.
I agree.
We focused on that enough. Let's talk about Jokic. You have him at 10th overall.
Yeah.
I assume that's my boy.
Like
this the year. Hot take of all this for most people. I mean, as far as big men go, I mean, we talked about it. Like, his passing is just out of this world. Millsap coming in opens things up. The minutes are surely going to go up. I assume a lot of this has to do with, you have faith that the steals and blocks are both going to reach one a game?
Yeah, I think he can get to one. You know, like, he had, what was it? Okay, so he had 5 steals or 5 blocks in one game, right? And in terms of like 3 to 4 steals, he had 4 games each. So, you know, he's shown the capacity to have, you know, to be able to do those things, you know. And like, people forget, like, he only started 59 games last year, right?
Right.
Like, so, you know, and that's crazy, right? And, you know, Denver, they played at the 7th fastest pace. And I think the coach and the team, they know that Jokic is the guy. The offense is flowing through him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, you talked about the passing, the assist numbers. You know, like, there were 5 guys in the league that, you know, were in the 1-1-1 club. So made 1-3, 1 steal, 1 block. You know, I think Giannis can get there. I think, you know, Cat can get there. Like, those 2 guys didn't make it last year. I think Jokic has a chance to get there too, you know. I don't know. You obviously think it's too high, so where would you put
him? No, I mean, I think he's definitely a second rounder at the least. Like, to me, I'm a bit higher on a guy like Wall than most because I like the big assist totals. And one thing that Wall doesn't give you is threes, really, but you can get that later on. But, I mean, if you say Jokic plays 35 minutes, we only averaged 28 a game last year.
Yeah,
even if he doesn't improve and he gets those minutes, you're looking at, I don't know, 21-12 with 6 assists, a steal and a block, shooting 58%. Like, that's, I don't insane. Think it's that outlandish. And while I'm, well, Tao and I are going to do division previews over the next month, and while I'm a bit more pessimistic on Denver's like overall record than most. I think this offense could be top five in the league, and
for sure, I don't have
much of a quibble with it. Like, I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Jokic Day Hall? Are you a fan? Uncle Daddy, are you there?
I think he's drowning in his own puke from the Chris Paul and the Giannis and Kevin Durant and all that stuff. I think it was too much. It was too much for him to handle.
I'm sure he'll join back in at some point.
But, I'm with you. I'm all in on the Nuggets. Like, I really love their offense. Mm-hmm. You know, the Millsap signing was good. I mean, they have shooters all over the place. Yeah, you know, I guess it just all comes down to the defensive stats, right?
I think that really is a big difference to me. Like, if I was picking, like, I don't know, on the wheel, say, I would kind of, like, the thought of teaming up Gobert and Wall is super appealing to me.
For sure.
You have Gobert 12th and Wall 14th.
I would probably they're pretty close.
Wall ahead of Butler. I would take Wall ahead of Butler, probably.
Okay. I don't hate that. I don't hate
me. But again, I this is minor stuff. Overall, it's just the fact that Jokic shot like 58% is unreal, and
he's so
getting
good.
Getting those off assists are the big thing. Like, and Millsap, he has never been like that great of a rebounder. I don't expect that to really hurt Jokic so much. So, yeah, I mean, even if he gets better, which, I mean, hell, he's 21 years old. He's going to get better. But just the minutes increase alone is going to make a huge difference. And, you know, if he stays at half a three a game, or, you know, he's at 0.6 last year.
Yeah, I think he was up.
So be it if he's shooting 58%. Yeah. I don't really care, you know.
No doubt. You know, like, he seemed a little, you know, there were times – right, he used to get into foul trouble, and like he looked like he would get a little fatigued, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the increase in minutes, and also hopefully, you know, he's more in shape, and you know, if those two things combined, I mean that's pretty, be a nice little combination there. I want to go back to what you're saying about, you know, Wall, and like if you were on the turn, you would go Wall, Gobert. Like, I definitely don't hate on that. And you know, before we started the podcast, you know, you were making a very interesting point in terms of, you know, getting assists, right? That's a pretty, you know, a rare commodity, or a commodity that's, you know, more difficult to find later in the draft. And
for sure.
Because of that, it makes a lot of sense, Wall. So, yeah, I definitely don't hate on that.
Yeah, I'm a bigger Wall fan in general. Maybe it's because I've had him on my dynasty team for a long time. But
he's good, yeah.
He's getting you over a half a block a game from a point guard, which is a nice little bonus. I mean, he averaged 2 steals a game last year, too. So we're talking about the guy there.
Yeah.
He's had double-digit assists 3 straight years. Like, again, he's weak when it comes to three-pointers, but, you know, at least he was at 1 a game last year, shooting 45% from the field. If he does that again, you know, with a decent, you know, rebound rate and free throw percentage, like, again, you're going to end up being short on threes when you do that combo, but – there are plenty of guys you can find for.
Yeah, you can get specialists. No, that's true. Okay, so would you take DeMarcus or Gobert?
Oh, man. I guess I would lean DeMarcus. Like, I don't know.
You're jazzed. Yeah, you're jazzed.
Well, no, it's not even that, though. Like, in real life, I just hate Cousins as a player. Like,
I hear you.
He just seems like the kind of guy who just piles up stats on horrible teams.
Right.
Maybe this is the year we find out if that's not true.
Right.
But he's just so good across the board, and, you know, he is a slight drain on field goal percentage, which kind of sucks coming from a big man. But he's also going to give you over – I think – the way they're going to play, he's probably going to average over a three a game, and he's definitely going to be over, you know, a steal and a block a game, averaging 20 and 10, even with Davis being next to him, they're not going to come to each other that much. So
yeah. He was a 1-1-1 guy. He almost, he almost put up two threes a game. It's insane.
Right. I think I would have to go Cousins. I mean, it's all to me. There's so many different ways you can go towards the back end of first rounds in this draft. Like, looking at your rankings, I feel like the top 9 is pretty cut and dry. You can rearrange the top 4 however you want.
Yeah.
You know, how high you want to put Davis depends on how much you want to gamble, honestly.
Where would you put him? Where would you put AD? Would you put him top three?
I would have him around where you do because
okay.
Kawhi's safety to me is just too easy to put him at number five.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the projections that are on Razzball, I actually think his assist numbers could push 4.5 a game this year. I think that's okay. going to jump because they don't really have a true point guard.
Right.
But he doesn't have, like, you know, he's not going to have the crazy upside the other guys are. He's not going to average 4 threes like Curry. He's not going to average... you know, he's going to have half the rebounds Cat does.
Right.
He's a step behind, but that 6-9 range between Davis, Paul, Westbrook, Harden is super close, and I think I might just shoot the moon with Davis if I was picking six and just hope to God that he plays even 70 games and it just works out for you.
Yeah, if he does, he's, you know, it's gold. You know, have you seen that some dude put a Twitter account? I think he named it, "Is Anthony Davis Hurt?" And so every time he gets hurt, he just tweets out, "Yes." And, you know, obviously, he tweets it out often, which is pretty funny. Twitter. Yeah, I love Twitter.
For sure.
What happened to Teal? Teal, you all right?
I have no idea what's going on. I'll send him a message as we're talking and hopefully can get back in.
That's too funny.
Another guy we're talking about, you have Kyrie Irving at 20.
Yeah.
You posted this before the trade, right? But you added in that it doesn't change much for you, him going to Boston?
I don't think it does. I actually think that his field goal attempts and usage probably come down a little bit. But, you know, I think his efficiency goes up and maybe – you know, he gets some more assist numbers, which kind of mitigate, you know, that loss. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Would you put him higher?
No, I think that's about right. I mean, he's going to give you an awesome free throw percentage. Yeah. And if, you know, he was taking 4.6 a game last year. If he could get that number, like, to 6 or 7, like, that's a massive boost to you every week. And I think the steal rate, you know, he had 1.2 steals a game last year. I think that's not good enough to move him much higher than where you have him.
Yeah.
I mean, the 25 points he had last year, that I think that's certainly repeatable. The threes are going to be great. He's going to shoot a good field goal percentage considering the amount of threes he's going to give you. But the rebounding and the steal rate's just not quite good enough from a point guard for me to move him higher. But, you know, if you're picking in the second round and – I'm trying to think who teams up. Like, if you took Cat with the fourth pick,
right,
and you're going to have pick 21 and Kyrie was there, that's a pretty outstanding duo to take right there.
Would you go Kyrie or Lowry? Well, Kyrie for sure, right, over Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, I love Lowry as a player, but it feels like this is probably the year that he's just going to take a slight step back because he's older.
Yeah,
it hasn't happened yet. I've been kind of expecting it for a year or two. Like, I almost feel bad for him because DeRozan gets, like, third-team All-NBA and a bunch of stuff. And, like, to me, Lowry's clearly better than DeRozan is.
I agree.
In real life, not even just talking fantasy. Yeah. But, you know, Lowry's getting up there, and it wouldn't surprise me if he finally takes a slight step back. But
okay,
Lowry's another one. Like, you know, you have him 23rd, so in theory, you take him after you take Durant. Like, that's a great start to any team for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Just quick, like, you have Isaiah. You had him 24th. Like, are you putting him? I assume he's outside your top 100 till you even know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta drop him just because, you know, that hip, right? I mean, it's been a while now. It's been a while that, you know, it's been an issue, right? So, I mean, I don't know. You have to. There's no other way to go, right? So,
I mean, is that enough for you to move LeBron up a couple spots from 15, or are you just going to still keep him there?
I don't think that move is enough, actually, because I can see D Rose, you know, kind of stepping in there, right?
I don't know what I mean. To me, it's just like they have no reason to push, so they're not gonna like they played LeBron so many minutes last year. I gotta hope that they realized just how pointless that really was at the end of the day. And, you know, so they win 52 games this year in the regular season or less. Who cares, honestly? Like,
yeah.
Just getting ready for the playoffs and don't push LeBron anymore. Like, I think it helps Love, too. I mean, you have him – you had him 26, but you said you were going to move him down a bit. How far would you move him down?
I'll just interject in here for a sec, Viz. So D-Rose, I think, you know, they pretty much told him, like, we want you to come and we want you to just do your thing, right? He's not going to be a spot-up shooter. You know, he's going to, you know, do, you know, pick and roll or, you know, try to break his guy down off the dribble. Well, he played 32 minutes last season, put up 18 points, right? His usage was like 20-something. Like, I think in terms of what you were saying about, you know, LeBron resting, I think, you know, he deferred to Kyrie. He let Kyrie do his thing. I think, you know, he's going to do the same with D-Rose. In terms of Love, initially I wanted to move him down big time, right? But, you know, after thinking about it and after the trade, you know, now you have Jay Crowder, right? And then, you know, D-Rose is going to do his thing. I don't think, for some reason, they don't like posting him up, even though that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, it right? bothers me because he was so good at that in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so dumb. I don't get it. Like, you know, you're going to relegate him to just, you know, spread the floor. You need to put him down in the block, but obviously they don't, you know, they just don't do it.
Right. Enough.
So I don't think, initially my thoughts were, yeah, his usage would go up, but now I'm like, nah, like, yeah, I don't see it. And, you know, with Crowder, I don't know, does he lose some minutes?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, like, they only really have to worry about Love, like, when they're playing Golden State. Otherwise, he's going to play plenty. I mean, according to Basketball Monster, he was, on a per-game basis, he was the 30th best player in fantasy last year.
Okay.
I mean, so you having him at 26, I mean, so that's close, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes it a little tougher for you when you draft later on just because you're drafting a big guy who's not going to give you any blocks or steals, really, for that matter. But you're also getting a great free throw percentage and a ton of threes from a power forward. So it's a little bit of a give and take, depending which way you want to go with it.
God, I wish they completed that trade for Paul George and dumped his ass, dude. God, that was our chance, man. That was our chance to take down Golden State, and it would have happened.
You think so? I don't see it.
I still don't think it would have been enough.
Yeah.
I know, bro. I know so. Isaiah Thomas, the heart of Tacoma, Washington, my brother for life. He will be back. He will be 100%. Then you add him, Crowder, and if you got George and got Love's useless ass out of the finals where he's absolutely – well, he was a little better this year, obviously, but he's just so poor defensively, man. I just can't handle seeing him out there.
It's just a horrible matchup for him.
It really is. That's like what they might as – I would try to trade him for some 3D players or something, man.
Well, I mean, that was the hope, I guess, with this last trade is to get Crowder in there. But I don't know. Again, it's – this offseason has been absolutely insane, and at the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter one bit, which kind of sucks, but it's going to matter for us in fantasy, at least, so that's a good thing. Yeah, Joel Embiid at 36, 37.
Yeah.
35. Yes. I don't even know where you start with a guy like Joel Embiid. Like, there are a couple guys in hockey who are like this where you basically know they're going to miss 20-plus games a year like they have for years now. So where do you end up putting him? Like, Evgeny Malkin is, you know, on the Penguins, and he was as good as any player in the best forward in fantasy last year on a per-game basis, but he missed 20 games. And missing 20 games isn't out of the norm for him. So what do you do with him? How did you come to putting Embiid at 35th?
Yeah, so basically, you know, the upside is just too high to put him lower, but the risk is too much to put him higher, right? And, you know, I mean, third round, I mean, okay, so per 36, almost 29 points per game, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.2 steals, 3.5 blocks, 1.63, 78% from the line. Like, that's, I mean, that's number one, consensus number one, if he plays right. every game, right? So there's like no one in the game can match that line. So, you know, obviously, you know, he's going to miss the 20 games, but, you know,
I mean, puts up, I mean, you know, lines like that. It's so hard, like, to even know if he's going to miss 20 games. Like, what if he plays 72 games? What if he misses 10 games?
Yeah,
then you're, I mean, then you're getting a first-round pick in the third round, right?
Exactly. That's why you can't put him lower, right?
72 games, straight up. I think they're so careful with this guy, and for good reason. I would.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if he has, one minor injury, they're going to be so precautious with him.
Right. Precautious with him that.
Precautious. He's not going to really play that much. So, I mean, if I actually had to sign under a number of games, it'd probably be like
60. 60?
Maybe even 55.
55.
So, God, he's so nasty, though. Don't get precautious,
man.
Yeah, would you put him higher or would you put him lower?
I mean, if I was going to move him, it would be lower because it's just such a risk to take.
But, it's risk, yeah, for sure.
But he can win you your league. Like, it's like, it's such a.
Exactly.
Yeah, how much do you want to gamble kind of thing? Like, I would. I mean, we'll kind of pivot. This is jumping a little bit, but you had Rashawn Holmes in your top 100, and I feel like he's not going to replace Embiid. But if I ended up drafting Embiid. Yeah. I would almost want to handcuff him like you do with running backs in football, and, you know, sometimes backup goalies in hockey, and just take Holmes just in case Embiid does get hurt.
Yeah, you know, like, I've changed my philosophy on handcuffing, you know, especially in football, just because I feel like, you know, the oh, yeah, all good. Yeah, I like handcuffs. It's good. Do you like handcuffing, or do you like to be handcuffed to you?
I like both, man, but I think of myself as this a player, but, like, I mean, I somehow just am also a sucker for love, you know, so I handcuff.
A sucker for love. Nice. You're like, you know who you are, T.L.? You're like the Batman of Red Bull. That's who you are. Right?
Oh, my God.
Yes! Yes,
that's my new motto. I need to see you in a costume.
Tell everybody right, you said right. that. So yeah. This is my new moniker.
The Batman of Red Bull. You still do your Snapchat thing?
Oh yeah, I do it on Instagram now.
Instagram. Yeah. You know that they used to have those like the puppy face and the puppy whatever the rabbit ears. Yeah, you need to get a bat and just do it like that.
And just only be in character. Yeah, I feel that. What's who are we on here? Wait, is Al Horford? No, I don't want to talk about Al Horford. I want to talk about Gordon Hayward.
All right.
Disgraced former Jazz man, former fanboy, Riz favorite player. He burned his jersey.
No, I don't burn anything. I don't know. He did what he did. I'm over it at this point. Yeah. I'm just ready for like him to go at the rim at Gobert once and just like Gobert to block him and just like taunt him. I don't know.
Wow. I feel the hate.
No, it's
I feel the hate emanating, Viz.
No, you know, I don't think going to Boston is really going to change his value too much. Like, the change in pace of play is going to be canceled out by him having the ball less because Kyrie is going to be so dominant with the ball.
Okay.
You know, having him as you do as a late third round pick, I think that's about right.
I
think he has the ability to become a primetime scorer. It's just like he just seems like one of those guys that maybe just doesn't want it to happen. I love when he was talking about him being kind of different before. Now all of a sudden he's like a GQ model. I went to the Lakers game and they were playing Utah. We were like, I found these tickets real close, like third row or something like that. She was like, Who's that guy? Like the entire fucking game. I mean, this guy's like a supermodel. This guy should be an absolute superstar. Like, you know, he should be in commercials. I mean, this guy. I mean,
I think that's
no good white players.
It might be part of the reason why he went there. Like, from all indications.
Yeah, is that, that's what I'm saying. Is that what he wants? Well, does he want
to
blow
up? So, like, I think Utah's big appeal to him, you know, from what I understand from, you know, listening to David Locke, who, you know, the radio guy for the Jazz, super connected, a bunch of other people in Utah, that their basic pitch to him was, this can be your team. This is, you can have a statue outside the stadium. You can be the third best player of the Jazz all time, and you can be the guy here. And, you know, maybe it's a bit harsh on him, but I think a lot of them, a lot of Jazz fans feel that he copped out, didn't want to be the number one guy, kind of wanted to be a secondary guy, and, you know, in the locker room and everything. And he went to Boston, and now, you know, Isaiah was the big guy pitching to him, and now he's not even there anymore. It's just adding more to, you know, how crazy and bizarre this offseason has been. But, you know, from a fantasy perspective, he's not going to give you really any blocks. He only averaged one steal a game last year. You know, at one point he averaged 1.4 for two straight years. I think he might get back to that because Utah's defensive philosophy was funnel guys into Gobert, don't gamble much. Maybe he'll gamble a bit more and get some extra steals in Boston. Maybe the rebounding goes up because, you know, Horford's a poor rebounder for a center and Gobert was eating everything up. Maybe that gets to the 6 or 7 range. He's a nice, solid, you know, he's not going to crush any category for you at all. You know, I mean, he'll be nice in points and he probably will make 2 threes a game. But he's not going to crush any category, but he's going to be a solid glue guy. You know, he's plus in every category except blocks, really.
Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he just become an elite scorer? He has the ability. Why do certain guys held back like this? Like, why is he not? To me, he's a top 20, top 25 overall player in the NBA. Not fantasy-wise, but just as a player.
Maybe he's getting there. Every single season in his career, he's averaged more shots per game. But, you know, he peaked last year at 15.8. Can it get much better than that? I mean, he's also taken 6 free throws a game. Is he going to get much better than that? I don't really see it because, I mean, if you
now he's playing Kyrie's with ball hog Kyrie,
shots, right? Like, do you see a scenario where Kyrie doesn't average 20 shots a game? I mean, he was at 19.7 last year, and that was playing with LeBron. You know, so I don't know. I just think it's not in Hayward's personality, you know, to go all out and be the alpha, so to speak. I don't know. And that's not, you know, I don't want to knock on him because, like, I think he is a top 20 player in the NBA. Like, I think he's right there with George and Butler as far as, like, second-tier small forwards go. But it was Gobert's locker room already, and he just doesn't have the personality to be the alpha in my mind. But for fantasy, yeah, I mean, I think that's where he slides in. And the late 30s, early 40s sounds about right to me.
So much hate, Viz. I feel it.
You should have heard me on the last podcast talking to Taylor where I said that I thought Boston, that trade was so bad that I can hear myself echo. That's not good. One of you guys messed up. But I thought that Washington and Toronto could both finish ahead of Boston this year in the regular season because the drop off to Kyrie.
The defense. Isaiah, you're talking about the defense.
Well, the defense, too. Yeah, it's a lot to ask from everyone. But let's get off the Jazz. You know, I was going to say let's talk about Rubio, but. Let's look at
them. Hold on. There was one thing in terms of Hayward that I kind of wanted to address. Okay. I think the relationship that he has with he has a very nice haircut, but the relationship he has with Coach Stevens, I think that's huge, right? Like, he basically, you know, brought him up when he was a little pup, when he looked like a little nerd, you know, developed him, watched him grow. He kind of knows what he wants. What he likes, you know, what spots on the floor, you know, he likes to operate at. I think they have, you know, a sort of a symbiotic relationship. I think that was huge. And, you know, I actually think that, you know, like you were saying, Kyrie took almost 20 shots a game last year. I kind of feel that's kind of an outlier, right? Like, I think he's probably going to put up more like 16 to 17.
I don't know. It depends how much of an effect Stevens has, because it's Stevens' system. I mean, I did think it got overput a little bit just because, like, Hayward's game really took off once Snyder came in as the Jazz coach. But on the other hand, no one believed in Hayward as early as Stevens did. So, you know, I see both sides of it. But Stevens and Snyder offensively kind of see things the same way, where they want the ball moving a lot.
Picking down low.
I don't think they want Kyrie to – I think they want him to shoot as many, you know, 16, 17 shots like you've said. Does Kyrie have it in him to, when they get down to six on the clock, to not just decide to go ISO against somebody and just keep running what they're supposed to be doing? It's a really interesting question, because I don't have an answer until we see it. I honestly have no idea.
For sure. Okay, my bad.
No, it's all right. Let's look at the two rookies you have now in the top 50 now.
I know
Tejo is all in on Lonzo.
And
Smith is also in your top 50, who we raved about, you know, the first time you were on the podcast.
We've been on DSJ.
What's that?
Yeah. We've been on DSJ from the beginning.
Oh, for sure. We talked about that before we even played Summer League, really. And now everyone seems to be on him.
Yes.
Do you have Lonzo at 42? You think so? That's a fourth round pick. You're comfortable with him being your second?
Let me hear Teals, because Teals, I know. Let me hear let me hear what you got on Lonzo, Teals.
I love it. I said at Summer League when I was talking to Biz, I said this guy right now. This guy's making passes on a regular basis. I've never seen any other player make. I mean, came into the NBA right after kind of Magic Johnson's heyday, so I didn't really witness that. Okay. But, I mean, this guy, like, on the regular basis, this guy might be the best passer in the NBA from day one. And This guy is an incredible passer. The assists are going to be there. The minutes are going to be there. He boards a little bit, maybe. He does rebound pretty well.
Yeah,
he's 6'6". He's tall.
Lopez is going to be their center, who's not a great rebounder either. So he should average 5 to 6 assists.
Yeah, they're going to be running and gunning. Like, he's going to get. I mean, he's going to hit threes. Like, I know people are a little wary of the shot, but he's going to gun. I mean, they're going to let him do whatever they want this year. I think he'll hit over 1-3 a game, no problem. Maybe 1.5.
Bomb. And to me, it's just how bad is the field goal percentage going to be? Because he's going to take a lot of threes. How good is he going to do at the rim is a lot of it. But I agree. Like, as far as passers goes, you're right. Like, I mean, to me, LeBron's still the best passer in the league. You know, Jokic is unreal for a center. Gasol, too, for a center. There's plenty of guys, but you're right. He has that vision that so few guys actually. I just thought, like, Teodosic coming in for the Clippers is an absolutely disgusting
concept. Yeah, he's awesome.
But Lonzo has that in him, too. And
is he like my boy White Chocolate when he came in the league? Man. He was nasty.
Jason Williams was the best. He was the best.
But, yeah, so,
you know why he was good, right? Because he used to chill with Randy Moss. Those two used to ball together. So,
West Virginia cash, product.
Straight
man.
Cash, homie. That's right. Straight cash, homie.
I'm trying to bring up Lonzo's college stats now, too, to see what his free throw percentage was, too.
I was just trying to think of it. I would imagine it was pretty solid.
He shot 67%, which just seems bizarre to me because – was college three, but he shot 41%. He shot 55% from the field because he shot like 70% at the rim. I don't expect, you know, there are very few players in the league that shoot that well at the rim, and they're almost all big men. So that's going to drop somewhat, but you know, if he shoots even 42, 43%, so he's a slight drain there, but he's not going to bury you, there's a pretty good chance that he pays off where you have him ranked, which... You know, you usually don't see rookies deliver that much, but everything's set up for him to succeed.
Yeah, you know, the passing, the pace of play, you know, the Lakers are going to be terrible, and, you know, they're just going to run and gun. But, you know, I mean, it's his IQ, right? And, you know, I just think, you know, when he came to UCLA, the year before, they were terrible.
Right.
They were like 15-17, and he comes and they win 31 games, right? That's, you know, that's not all on him, but he was a huge part of that. So, you know, like, it kind of goes back to, you know, what I was kind of like referring to or referencing about Russell Westbrook, right? Like, playing with a guy that's a black hole, like, it's cool to watch, but like everybody, like, you know, they become like kind of like disenchanted, right? You don't, you know, you're not hustling, you're not moving, like a lot of these little things, like, you just end up not doing. And when there's a dude like Lonzo, you know, like, if you know that he, you know, he can get you the ball at any point, at any moment, like, you're going to be moving, you're going to be cutting, you're going to start back picking, right? And just the rhythm and the flow, it's just like, I think that translates to, you know, the defensive side of the ball as well, and rebounding, hustling, all that stuff. So I think there's a lot of intangibles, but, you know, I do think that, you know, a lot of that is going to be quantifiable in terms of, you know, fantasy stats.
Right. I mean, the one other good thing that he has going in his favor over Smith is the Lakers don't have their first round pick. So come the end of the season, they're not really incentivized to tank, and they're going to just play their guys, true. I would imagine. Because they want to appeal to LeBron. They want to appeal to George. They want to get those guys there, and some extra wins at the end of the year could definitely help. Where if Dallas is doing poorly, I could just see them shutting guys down and trying to get, you know, a top pick to get Michael Porter, Bagley, Doncic, the next guy in there, you know, to complement Smith going forward. So I could see Smith potentially getting shut down at the end of seasons.
Definitely. Yeah, Stevie Francis. Hey, you know what I was thinking, though, the other day as well? I was kind of thinking DSJ, like, kind of like Derrick Rose pre-ACL injury.
He's a freak. Like,
right?
It sounds like they're both crazy so explosive when you talk like about that. Guys, like, in the NBA as being a freak athlete, and so many of them are, but, like, it's hard to think of guys who are a better athlete than Dennis Smith is, and, you know, maybe he doesn't end up putting it all together, but, my God, his upside is just through the roof.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really hope, you know, he can stay healthy.
Right.
You know, I would love to see what he can do. I got a question for you guys.
All right.
In terms of, you know, back to UCLA, right? I've been having kind of a difficult time with Zubac and Larry Nance. You know, it seems like the team likes Zubac for some reason. Like, he's fine, but he just doesn't fit that style of play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like Nance, you know, I think I put him in like 100 or something like that, 100 something. But, you know, he played a small ball, you know, five, you know, behind Lopez. And, you know, he just seems to fit that style more, you know, fits it better. Do you think Zubac is a factor, or does he just get phased out?
I mean, I think in the long term, he's probably a backup center in the NBA, and that's fine. You know, Lopez, you know, he was very healthy last year, but he does have an injury history. So, you know, if he did get the minutes, I could definitely see him being a hold in, you know, standard 12-man fantasy leagues. He doesn't, like, particularly excite me. Like, I feel like Nance is a guy who's better in real life than he is in fantasy, too. Like, I don't know. He's always impressed me, and everyone, you know, talking about focused on Randall or other guys in the past, but, you know, I don't know. There's something about him when I watch him I'm just kind of a fan of, but he doesn't do anything particularly well in fantasy to be worth it, except he does give you kind of big steals from a big man. I mean, at 1.3 steals last year in 23 minutes, that's pretty terrific. I mean, there's very few big men who do that, but I'm not sure if he'll do enough to be a holder. I don't know what their plan is. Like, are they going to phase Randall out? Are they going to play him big minutes, like, hope to trade him at the deadline for someone to clear cap space for, you know, LeBron or whoever? Are they going to keep him, keep his cap hold, hope to sign some guys, then go over the cap to re-sign him? I don't really know what their plan is. You know, it's
clear. I think LeBron's coming for sure.
You know,
don't you think that?
The only thing that gave me pause was, like, you know, Durant spends a ton of time with them, and they were Bill Simmons. He was on Bill Simmons' podcast.
I heard that. Yeah,
I mean, it all just makes so much sense. Unless he just wants to, like, you know, like, go into the West and go against Golden State earlier. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like it gets a little bit overplayed because you got to beat Golden State one way or the other, whether it's in the NBA Finals or if it's the Conference Finals, right. whatever, you know.
Right.
But I don't know. There's something like if LeBron made the Finals like 10 years in a row in the East or something, that would be completely absurd. And I don't know. What do you think, Taylor? Do you think he's staying in Cleveland after next year or going?
I really don't know, man. I mean, if it seems like when the word got out that he's going to leave, then I mean, I think he's going to leave. He obviously hates the owner, which is understandable. He seems like a total tool.
His mom was like, "Fuck, you know, f that guy," you know. Like,
yeah, you could swear.
Clearly, the owner is a total.
You can say whatever.
Oh, okay, cool.
You can say fuck or whatever you want.
Yeah, the owner's a fucking douchebag. So I don't see. I don't know. He obviously doesn't like him whatsoever. But I mean, to go to the Lakers, yeah. I mean, it's just like with George obviously would be so right. him and George and Ball is like what is. I mean,
and Ingram
with Ingram, that's not bad. Yeah, with Ingram, that's kind of nasty. Ingram, you know?
Well, they'll be great. I mean, I've been saying for years that any team LeBron goes to, almost every team in the NBA, I feel
a
like.
Contender. You're a contender.
Team, they're a playoff
team. Immediate contender, which is like the only player.
Worse. Like, if you drop LeBron on, I don't know, pick a team. Yeah. If you drop LeBron on Brooklyn this year, they're winning what 45 games? What
45 games?
They don't have anyone
at
else.
Least. He's the best. He's the greatest.
He's the greatest.
But I mean, I think I would like the current situation in Cleveland better. Depending on the, I mean, if the pick, really? If they ended up getting a really high pick next year, depending on how raw the player was, I mean, is that guy going to impact them immediately? I don't know, but then it's like, would they re-sign Isaiah Thomas? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm down with him just bouncing at this point. I'm fine with it. I've come to grips with it. He won the title there. It's just the Kevin Love thing,
maybe it really
with,
just,
and then
maybe
the herb
it just comes down to like how close are they in the finals? Like just adding Crowder or whoever else. Like if they lose in five, like last year in a gentleman's sweep. Then it might be more reason for him to bounce. If they go to six or even seven, maybe he ends up staying. It's so tough to say. Like, I don't know. How do I know? How does anyone know what he's really thinking?
Yeah, nobody knows what he's going to do at this point. The Irving thing was just so weird.
If he didn't get smacked by Boston his last year in Cleveland in the conference semifinals, does he go to Miami? I mean, probably. It seems like they had this plan all along, him waiting Bosch, but – maybe not. You know, if he goes to the finals for a second straight year, maybe he ends up staying there. I don't know. It's one of those.
You know, the only way I could see him staying in Cleveland is if Gilbert sells him the team. That's the only way. If Gilbert's the owner, I do not see him staying
there. That's what I'm thinking. Gilbert should just sell the team now. Like, it'll never be worth more. If LeBron leaves, it instantly drops, a couple hundred mil maybe. But I guess any team in the NBA is selling.
What? That's the thing. I mean,
$2.2 billion, right, for Houston? So, right.
These deals are just unbelievable. How much money, and it's crazy how much money is just floating into the NBA nowadays. It's just like... Yeah, Gilbert lost a little bit of money, but that's because they're like $60 million over the tax or whatever it is. Like any NBA team, it's like almost reached NBA status where you're just like guaranteed to print money. It's unreal.
It is, yeah. Straight ATM.
So,
but yeah, I gotta say he's gonna leave. Okay.
I would lean that way. Over a whole year, it's hard to say anything definitively, but. Things are shaping up that way, I would think. Moving on, just outside your top 50, your 51 through 60 are a bunch of, high upside guys, be it, D'Angelo Russell, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray. And you also lump in all these free throw punt bigs in the 50s.
Right.
Are you just a guy who's just, never going to punt free throws? Or, does it have to get to the point where you're here in, say, the sixth and seventh round and you're just like, well, I already don't have great free throws. I might as well just say screw it and, crush rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, all that.
Right, right. Every draft is different, right? Right. I don't mind doing anything. Just depends on how things flow. Mm. I did kind of have a little difficulty ranking those guys because I could have made a case, to put them higher.
Yeah, I mean, if you decided you were going to punt free throws from the beginning, like, you could shape up a team right off the bat where, say, like, if you end up with – I'm trying to think who the right guy would be to take in the top 10 because so many of those guys are really good at free throws. But say you ended up with pick 11. Actually, I think this actually works out perfectly with where you had him.
Okay.
So you take Cousins first, and then you back him up with LeBron. So now you're talking two high-volume guys who actually are going to get extra assists, but you don't actually have a point guard yet. You're covered there, and then you decide, you get whatever point guard in the third round to cover yourself, be it, I don't know, who would be in that range, maybe even, a Dragic or – I'm trying to think who else would be in that, third round range. Maybe a Teague. Nah, it's probably too early for Teague.
Conley?
Sure.
Conley's
a perfect one. And then after that, you decide, screw it. I'm just going to roll with, Drummond and Jordan and just crush everyone. It seems like a viable strategy to me. It's never fallen to me in a draft where I've had to do it and – it seems like, you take Conley and it seems like you're wasting it a little bit that he shoots so well from the line, but he doesn't do it with the volume that it's going to make a drastic difference. Right. So,
I definitely don't hate on that. And that's why, I was having difficulty because I could have definitely put him in the 40s, but I could have definitely put him a little lower.
Right.
I think I ended up where I ended up putting them because I do see a little drop off in both of their production, irrespective of the free throw issue. Like DeAndre Jordan, CP3 is gone, right? And so, Patrick Beverley, he's a nice player, right? But he's not a creator like CP3, right?
No, definitely not.
And so I don't know, how many of those cheapies is he gonna get? The Point Blake thing. I'm really down on Blake Griffin this year, I just don't think he's going to be healthy, right?
That's the thing. If I thought he was going to be healthy, I think he could be absolutely insane, but it's just too hard to beat that now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, to me, definitely. I think for Jordan, it comes down to almost how much is Teodosic going to play? Because he's unreal passing. But is he going to play more than 20 minutes? I find it hard to believe because,
they're going to play
Beverly. They're going to play Lou Williams. You have Tatum.
Well, Austin Rivers is playing. Austin Rivers is playing.
he can't help but play this kid. And I've never been really a Drummond fan, honestly. He's really good in fantasy for what he does, but in real life, he's always underwhelmed me. And I don't know. Maybe if Reggie Jackson isn't just a complete dumpster fire this year, he could be better. But
he could
I don't know.
Here's my thing with Drummond. He saw a decrease in minutes last year, right? And especially in crunch time because of free throws. But I think compelling thing, I forgot who was breaking this down, but I don't know. When I find it, I'll give that person credit. But basically he was saying, on the pick and roll, teams started defending Drummond differently, right? So they started taking away his dive, making him catch it and then forcing him to be a playmaker, right? Which is not his thing, right? Definitely he wants to finish.
He wants to finish. If he averages one assist a game, it's a miracle.
Yeah, for sure. So, it's out there, right? So you have to imagine that a lot of the other teams are going to start defending him like that too. That coupled with the decrease in minutes, definitely, soured me on them a little bit. I don't know. You would obviously put DJ much higher than Drummond, right?
No, yeah, I mean, I would put him higher. I don't know, where you have him, a few spots ahead, that seems fine. I mean, the irritating thing to me with Drummond is, he shot 53% last year, which seems good, but he just shoots 62%, and DeAndre's pushed 70 before, and that's just alone is enough, where even if DeAndre's averaging a few less points, it's enough for him to be ahead of him.
Right. Well, okay, here's my rant. I need to get your guys' perspective on this, right? How does a freaking NBA professional ball player shoot under 50% on free throws? Like, how is that possible? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, they have coaches, right? They hire coaches. These coaches can't figure that out. Okay, maybe it's in the head, like psychologically. Dude, they can hire the best psychologists, right? Like, to me, there's no excuse that they should be, you know, shooting under 50%, right?
Tejo, you want to hit that up first?
It's the precociousness.
Precociousness, nice. I like it. All right, let me hear it, Tejo.
I don't know. I've been wondering since back in the day with guys like Shaq, my favorite player of all time. Yeah. I've got his autographed jersey looking at it right now in front of my face and his other autographed photo I'm looking at right across from him. I always look him in the eye right before I go to sleep every night. But he couldn't do it, man. I felt like with him, his hands were just so huge. It just seemed
okay,
like
hold on. I got to stop you there. I got to stop you there, right there, right? I always hear that excuse, right? But I used to have a Nerf football, you know, Nerf basketball thing that you put on the door, or you go to like, you know, Dave and Buster's or whatever, and you play the little small ones, right? Hey, so I can replicate. I replicate the same way. So like, I realize it's different, but you just practice, right? No? Okay, sorry to cut you off. That was just my little rant there.
Man, I don't really understand it. I think what we really need to do here is kind of like in fantasy football where we remove the kickers, maybe we remove free throw shooting because it's really not that exciting of a category for me.
It's skewed so much.
You have to replicate it. Yeah, you have to replicate it. You know, replace it with something, though.
Can we replace it with, like, something cooler?
If I was going to dump a category in out of the main nine, it would be turnovers. My main turnovers, league where we call it Super League, where we play all four fantasy sports, the 10 of us, and best finish at the end is our champion. We don't include turnovers because it's like the really good players just get punished by it for no real reason.
Right. It's just a way to kind of frustrating equal to me, level the field.
Back to your point, son, just like I think of a guy like Gobert being a Jazz fan. Like when he came in the league his first year, he shot 49% from the line. Last year, he shot 65%. Right. Like there are guys, there are plenty of them who make progress. And it's just so many. And there's another handful of guys who are just so awful that it just like boggles my mind. Like, are you really?
The LeBron really thing crazy? Is crazy. The LeBron thing is crazy. No, I mean, that's disgusting.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, it's inexcusable.
That's where it's got to be more psychological. I mean, because a guy like him, I mean, this guy perfects his crap. Yeah. Right. For me, I can't picture him, one, not working on his free throws, and two, not being able to hit 75%+ in his fucking sleep. Without practicing shooting free throw, like I don't even, it makes no sense to me.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if he has psychological problems, like he has no problem. Like Tony Robbins will come to his house and give him a session, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, he was never anything. Like, he's never shot 80% from the line, but he used to be, you know, mid-70s with insane volume. And last year he shot like 67. It's just so crazy. Like, a guy who popped in my head who was another one who just like was good at free throws or decent and just fell off a cliff was Josh Smith. Like when he was in Atlanta in the beginning, he had years where he was shooting over 70%. He had 1 year, 2008, 71%. Next year, 59%. Then he got back to 72%. Right. And then from 2011 down, 72.5%, 63%, 52%, 53%, 50%. Like, how do you just fall off a cliff like that? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's not like you're talking – over 100 free throws. Like, you're talking over a few hundred free throw sample. LeBron averaged 7.2 free throws a game last year. That's in 74 games. That's over 500 threes or 500 free throws in a season. Like, that shit works itself out over that big of a sample size. For him to
only... It's incredible. He misses a ton of them in the playoffs, too. He misses tons of clutch free throws all the time throughout his career. It's always drove me absolutely insane. But Andre Drummond, 38%. What the fuck is this?
That's crazy, right? That's insane. Like, the only thing I could think of, I guess, would be, like, those guys, right, they're so big and they take a lot of punishment. So maybe fatigue, and then if they get battered physically, I don't know.
I mean, you're right. If you practice anything enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, LeBron's, like, become a much better jump shooter and three-point shooter than... It's just so crazy that his free throws deteriorated.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, once you're so bad where we've having to discuss rule changes to stop the game from, like, intentionally fouling these guys over and over and over and over again, where they want to change the rules of the game. I mean, it's like, come on, man. I mean, I can see where it kind of gets in your head at that point, but you got to put in the work or something. Right. I mean, this is just goddamn embarrassing.
Seriously.
Andre Drummond, dude, this guy, 2 years ago, I thought this guy was just going to be an absolute superstar. It seems like he totally peaked or has regressed even. I mean, I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been, like, a real big fan. But, yeah, like, after his second season, he shot 62%. He just seemed like he was going in the right direction. Now he turns the ball over more. He's still – last year was the first year in the five that he had over one assist a game, which is absurd. His free throws went from 7.2 a game to 4.4, which makes me think that, like, he's almost scared at times. Yeah, exactly. And so that might be taking away part of his game. Overall, it's just – I don't know.
But when he's in the flow, he's clearing, like, every board. Like, he's been, I mean, yeah, it must be. I mean, that's really messing with his head, the free throw. Now he's scared to even touch the ball. He's like, no.
And the thing is, like, he's going to play, like, he averaged 30 minutes a game. What's the alternative, though? Like, playing John Lure at center and stretching the floor? Because, I mean, usually teams like to change up their second unit a little bit. Right now, if you're not counting Lure, his backup's Boban. And Boban is
basically... Free Boban. That's all I want to say. Free Boban.
Boban basically is the same exact, like, style of player as Drummond is. So, like, you know, when things aren't working for Drummond even, are they going to turn to Boban? The same things aren't going to work for him. So unless they're willing, you know, to use Lure at center, which it might. I mean, it certainly wouldn't shock me.
I read stuff that, yeah, they were going to have Lure backing up Drummond. So he would play both the four and the five. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough situation. Again, like, if you're willing to punt free throws, the good thing about where you have him ranked is you're talking fifth roundish, maybe sixth. What direction your team's going already. Like, if you end up drafting Durant, you're not gonna take those. Like, you're not gonna punt free throws because Durant's just right. He could win you free throws by himself. You know what I mean?
You don't want to take away that advantage for sure.
We don't have to talk about all these guys you have from, like, the 50 to 60 range, but, like, between, like, Murray, Gordon, D'Angelo, is there one of those guys that you, like, prefer to get more, like, you're targeting more than the other ones for fantasy?
And this, so Jamal Murray is ranked higher than Devin Booker. Is this accurate?
Yeah. Let me hear the hate.
Well, I don't really know the hate. I mean, again, you guys are more experienced in the actual. I'm more of just an NBA expert in general, not the fantasy thing. I'm gonna leave to you guys a little bit more. But is Murray? Are you just projecting his minutes are gonna go up enough to where? Is it just? I mean, what is he just better at Booker?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just love, you know, I'm high on, you know, the Nuggets offense, and I do think that
my boy Moutier is not going to come back hard.
Nah, man, I'm not feeling Moutier. I think he gets buried on the depth chart. I think Jamal Murray starts, and I think Jameer plays
Backup.
I wouldn't shock me at all, honestly.
Yeah.
I think Moutier is pretty. He's not playing in China yet.
No, I mean, the problem with Booker in fantasy, you have him at 62nd, and I think that's perfectly reasonable because he doesn't average a steal a game. He's not giving you any blocks. Yeah, he's a shitty rebounder. So basically, you're getting a lot of threes,
points,
and a good free throw percentage on solid volume. Otherwise, in points, obviously, but otherwise, there's not really much there. And again, Phoenix is actually, I think, the team I think most likely to tank at the end of the season this year because they're going to be at the bottom of the West in a brutal conference. Honestly, if I had a better team to finish dead last in the league, it would be Phoenix right now. I could see them shutting down guys. Booker's defensive game is just a train wreck. Like, to me, he seems like he seems overrated at this point to me in his career. There's certainly room for him to grow. I mean, he's was the youngest player in his draft, I believe. He's still 20, 21 years old.
But, what if he takes that leap and goes becomes like a 30-point dude?
That's – I mean, he already took 18 shots a game last year, 18.3 shots per game. How high – he'd have to take 23 shots? I mean, I don't really think that's possible. I don't know. Even if he, even if he did that,
Mamba mentality.
But even if he did that, though, like he's still not going to give you steals, blocks, rebounds. So like his fantasy upside is extremely capped to me, which is part of the issue. Where Murray, I don't want to say the upside's through the roof. Like in the long term, it is. I don't know how good it's going to be this year, especially because the assists aren't going to be great either. Because I think Jokic is going to be the primary ball handler, and Millsap's going to have it a ton too. What it's going to come down to me is how many times can he get to the free throw line? Like, he averaged 1.5 free throw attempts last year in 21 minutes. That's simply not enough. If he can get that up to the 4 to 5 range where he shot 88% from the line, that goes a long way in boosting his value.
That's true.
I think, I might have
he's more of a shooter, though.
I might have Booker ahead of him just because Murray's not great in steals either. And we know the points are going to be there. But I think
– You don't think assists? You don't think he racks up more assists?
I think
assists?
He does. I don't know how many more. Yeah. I think he's more like a 5-assist guy where Booker's probably like 3.5. But the upside – for Murray is probably higher from a fantasy standpoint, which I assume sounds crazy to most.
I love it. That's why I set you guys up. I want you to break it down for the people at home that maybe think, what? Devin Booker is a star in the make, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to hear you guys just take these people to church.
I don't want to say Booker's empty points because that's a bit much, but it's basically threes points. And, those are – what he's good at are the easiest things to find in fantasy, mostly threes. Like, you can find three-pointers on the waiver wire, no problem. You'll always be able to pick up whoever that shoots threes. So it's whether he can get a few more rebounds, whether he can keep getting those assists up is going to – that's what's going to change Booker's value. It's not whether he goes from 22 to 27 points. It's whether it becomes more of a well-rounded stat line in my mind.
Yeah. Like those type of guys, they want to save their energy, for scoring, mm-hmm. right? They use defense as a time to rest for offense right. And, trying to hustle and trying to get rebounds just, takes away some of the juice to score mm-hmm. points. So, it's not a good thing.
Right. I mean, In a similar way, it's obviously a tier below Booker, but it's a lot of the same questions for him and Murray as Rodney Hood has for Utah. With Hayward gone, he's the number one option, right? But he's battled injury issues, and two, he's never been a steals guy. He averaged 0.6 steals a game last year, which is just absurdly low. But he shot 86% 2 years ago at 2.5 free throw attempts. Can he get that to 5 free throw attempts? Could he get it to 6? That's really enough for these guys to make a huge jump. It's a big reason why a bunch of players, Ricky Rubio you have in 37. Yeah, everyone always talks about the assists and steals, and rightfully so. But he's great from the free throw line. Like, it just makes such a difference for you to have these guys do it on a real volume too. Like, having a guy shoot, 90% on 2 free throws a game isn't going to do as well for you as a guy who's shooting 5 a game, making him at 80%. It's just all about volume, as you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You've watched more Jazz games than me, but I was just watching tape on Hood. Man, I love watching him play. It's like he's 6'8", right? So he can get his shot over anybody. But, he's so silky smooth. Like, he never, forces the issue, right? So I guess
I mean, to me, I'm just throwing last season out. Like, if you look at his numbers pre-injury, it was, 16 points a game. Right in line with, his second year in the league with slight improvements. And once he came back, he was just a mess. I think it was in his head. It helped him. Ingles was playing very well. We'll finish talking about him at the end because I think, you talked about him ranking him, and I think people are overhyping him a bit too much. But to get back to Hood, it's kind of, Thragnoff, super three heavy, could be 18 to 20 points. If everything pans out and the free throws come around, maybe he does push like 75th overall. There's also a chance that you end up having to cut him because he's just burying your field goal percentage and he just doesn't take that next step that everyone's hoping for. So I think we would have him at 92 makes a lot of sense. Is there anyone you want to talk about specifically, Tejo? I know I've been steering the talk, so to speak, for quite a bit.
No, I could talk all night about every single one of these players, but again, I don't know if we should break this down into, and we should probably hit this. Well, yeah, I don't know. What's a guy like? I mean, I was kind of interested in Ben Simmons here. I mean, this is pretty interesting to me. I mean, is it because he's just not a good shooter, obviously, or he's not a 3-point shooter? But is he gonna? I wonder what his minutes are going to be like. I wonder if they're really going to let him control shit and he's just going to just fill up the box score type of thing, like triple-double king type of thing. Like, could he be a possible steal here, or am I thinking too – is this too much?
You want to take it, Viz?
Long-term, I love him. I just really don't know how many minutes he's going to play this year. Between having, Embiid and Sarge and Covington could play the four. If he can get to even, say, 28 minutes a game, I think there's plenty to love there. I mean, this just seems like a feeling out year for Philly, and we don't know, how Simmons, Fultz, Embiid, all these guys are going to share the ball. I mean, if Embiid goes down again and Simmons stayed healthy – he can probably end up a top 50 player, even if he can't shoot for shit, because he could average, 15, 8, and 6 or 7. Maybe the assists just skyrocket at that point. Philly is the one team, not the one team, but I might want to watch them more than anyone else this year just to see, how the hell all these pieces fit going forward and whether they can get a clear answer of whether these guys are the core they want to build around, if they want to ship one of these guys out, I don't know. I'm long-term. I don't want to say I'm all in on Simmons, but I'm very optimistic this year. I don't know. If I was a guy who was doing 5 fantasy leagues, I'd want him on a team, maybe 2, but I wouldn't want to go all in on him. And I definitely wouldn't want to fade him completely either. And I love, we talked about it before. I love your Lamar Odin comp. Original Odin.
That's who it reminds me of, for sure. Yeah.
People forget how good Odin was at the beginning of his career. And there's
Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island. That's right. That's right. So Elo in the beginning, he was getting the rebounds, he was getting the assists, and his jumper wasn't that good either. But he was still able to score even when guys were laying off him, and that was my main concern with Simmons, and I still kind of had that concern, but I just LO, he's gonna find a way, to do some stuff. For me, it just basically comes down to they're gonna rest him, the minutes, how many minutes does he get? And yeah, this, the injury risk, you have to factor that in too. So, it's going to be exciting.
From a fantasy perspective, I'm almost hoping that he doesn't take any threes just so he can keep his field goal percentage, pushing 50%. Because if a guy's going to shoot 50%, I don't care if he's not going to shoot threes. It's going to be, really weird for your roster having a power forward who's going to get you, 6 assists. and not shoot threes at all potentially, but you can find guys, you know, you can work your way around that. It's not a big deal. Will he vary a field goal percentage by shooting threes, or will he not shoot threes and shoot well is a big question.
Right. So to piggyback off of this, I'm really having a problem with Saric, like where to put Saric, because I have him pretty low now because I don't think he's getting minutes.
I think that's a guy that I would be low on too for fantasy. Like,
yeah.
What does he do that's particularly like? Look at his stat line. What is he good at?
Yeah.
On it, like this is. I'm not just like trying to be a dick about it, but like.
No, I hear you. No, he can. You know, he grabs some boards. He can. You know, he can shoot the J. But yeah, you're right. Nothing really stands out.
He shot 41% to get those 1.3 threes. You know, the free throws for 78%, which is, you know, average for a fantasy team, maybe slightly below now. The rebounds are pretty good. Can he really get past the 26 minutes per game as last year? I kind of doubt it unless there's another injury. But even if there is, it's just I don't see the real upside here. Like
I agree.
It's just nothing that really stands out or gives me hope that he can have like a massive breakout.
All right, so Simmons is playing the four. You have Fultz, right? Yeah. Fultz and Redick in the backcourt, Covington at the three, Embiid at the five, right? So, I mean, when Simmons plays, like, he's going to play close to 30 minutes, maybe more, right?
I would think.
28 to 30. So Saric gets some, but then Amir Johnson's there. I don't know. Like, if you were to project minutes for Saric,
I think Luolu Cabarro. I mean, TLC did pretty TLC? Well at the end of last year. Like, you said Amir Johnson's probably going to get a token 8 to 10 minutes, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to see Saric topping 28. Like, that seems like almost best case to me. Like,
he might have some game.
Like, when these guys are out, like, even one of them, he might push, like, 36 in those games. But it won't be enough to overcome when he's playing, like, 25, 26 on a regular basis. So, by the end of the year, I would be kind of surprised if he's averaging more than 28 minutes a game. Unless he takes a jump that I personally don't see right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was, because a lot of people were clamoring about that I had Saric too low, so I was kind of curious to what you guys think about him.
It doesn't really do too much for me, to be honest. I don't know. Like, Tejo, have you watched much of Saric to have a strong opinion or any opinion one way or the other on him?
I like him. I like his all-around game. Yeah, it's just another nice young player that they have, and he can shoot at least. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think he'll fit in nicely. They'll find a way to get him.
I like him. Like, he can be their sixth man, no problem. I just don't see I don't see big upside for him. Like, he's clear.
He was definitely worth the 8-year wait.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, he's like the first guy of their group to play actually after years of being drafted. I don't know. Is there anyone else, Son, that you want to talk about that's in your top 100 or anyone else, Tejo, before we wrap this up? It's approaching.
I'm going to drive out to the store, get a cigar or something and smoke and go to sleep because I'm exhausted.
Tell me about it.
But
it's
I would like to stay up all
it's
night
about,
talking to you guys.
It's about 3 a.m. where I'm at now, and I'm
You might as well not go to sleep. Let's just pull an all-nighter.
Well, the problem with that is I would sleep all day, and then you guys aren't going to hear this till after, but Saturday I have 2 weddings that I'm going to, so that'll be fun. I just want to mention quick, because you said the people were clamoring for Joe Ingles in the comments, and I'll just be honest with you. Like, I don't see any scenario where he's playing more than like 26 minutes a game. He's just not the type to play big minutes. I don't think Utah's going to push him. When he played bigger minutes last year, his game fell off a decent amount. I expect him to play close to an even split with Cephalosha at the small forward minutes. I'm guessing on any given night, Ingles is going to play anywhere from 24 to 28 minutes, and Cephalosha is going to play anywhere from 20 to 24. And I don't see what he's going to do for you in those, like, he's going to give you great threes. He's going to give you pretty good steals, and he's going to give you a little extra assists. But if he averages more than 11 points a game, I'd be surprised. He's not going to give you any blocks at all. The rebounds are going to be below average. He's not going to give you any free throw volume. So I wouldn't draft him in a 12-er, honestly. I mean, you could take him with the last pick or two and to stream for the beginning of the season. But I'd rather just aim higher and take a gamble on, you know, a lottery ticket, basically, at a later point in the draft. Like, you have Reggie Jackson under him. Like, I'd rather just pray to God Reggie Jackson bounces back and remembers that he was, like, a top 16 fantasy player. Or,
right.
There's just, you know, Valanciunas, you have Barry down there. Take a shot on John Collins. Like, I know these are different types of players, but I just don't see any upside from Ingles. Like, don't get me wrong. He's an awesome Twitter follow if you don't follow him. He's just an amazing guy in the locker room. He's the perfect glue guy in real life, but he's not going to move the needle for your fantasy team at all. So, you know, okay. You have him outside the top 100. That's fine. Like, you're talking odds are those guys, you're not going to be holding. Yeah, right. You're not going to be holding those guys. Like, these are guys you're going to rotate. You know, it's Thursday night and I'm down in threes and I might need some steals. All right, I'll grab Ingles for tonight and maybe, you know, the weekend's game, whatever. That's fine. Just, I think some people are expecting to play 30, 32 minutes, and I don't see any scenario that's going to happen because he'll get their backcourt. Rubio, Hood, Donovan Mitchell is going to play his way. Honestly, I would have him ahead of
one. I like Mitchell. I like him a lot. Yeah. Like,
with one of my last pick or two, I'm going to probably try to take him in every draft. And Exum probably is going to get some minutes too. So that's a super crowded – and that's assuming Alec Burks never recovers, which all indications are he's finally getting healthy, which maybe he forces his way to get some minutes. So maybe now Burks plays some small forward and forces his way to play there. Like, as much as, you know –
How much time did Joe Johnson get?
20 minutes, maybe. Assuming it's going to be exclusively a power forward, though. I don't like it's going to be Favors to start. Who we can talk about on another time, but I think this is a very interesting year for him. And they're going to try some some very up tempo offense lineups. Would say Mitchell and Exum in the backcourt with Ingles, and then probably Joe Johnson and, like, Jarebko playing the five and just, like, crazy offense lineup. Like, they, as much as losing Hayward just, like, kills their, like, ceiling, they should still be a very good regular season team because they're legitimately, like, 11 or 12 deep. And I just don't see the opportunity for Ingles to go off. But we'll wrap this up. I just want to say quick, you know, if you could check out leaguesafe.com. You know, we talked about it last time with Tayo. He's been using it for years. LeagueSafe is you deposit, you know, the members of your fantasy sports league, whatever sport you want to do, you deposit your buy-ins for your league on a LeagueSafe. They hold the money for you. Your commissioner links your league to LeagueSafe, and they set the payouts whatever they want. And at the end of the season, LeagueSafe pays everyone out for you. It saves the guy who's running your league. You know, that's usually me.
Hell yeah. I don't use sponsors that I don't use the product. People know that about me, and they respect it. Actually, I don't know if they do or not, but I would take it. If you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, or what is that? What's that from Tommy Boy? Never mind. I'll talk about it next time. But, yeah, LeagueSafe.
Yeah, so if you go to leaguesafe.com/RazBasketball or just go to leaguesafe.com and use the promo code RazBasketball, just for you using them, they're going to add $10 to your payouts for your league. So, again, it'll save everyone the trouble. You know, you want to chase anyone down for money. All it takes is at least 5 members of your league have to do it. But you know, if you're doing a 10 or 12-man league, everyone at this point should be able to go on their website and deposit, you know, deposit however much money you need to do for your league. And, again, just – it makes life so much easier, and I'm thankful. I used it for one of my football leagues, and I'm definitely going to use it for hockey leagues and the plans for basketball as well. So just one more time, leaguesafe.com/RazBasketball. Yeah, I just want to thank both of you guys for taking the time. Tahole and I will start doing division previews starting next week. We'll probably start with the Atlantic Division and just move our way through probably around once a week. Anything you want us to talk about in the comments section, basketball.rasball.com. You can find us on Twitter, just at Rasball. I'm at RasballViz. Tails, Uncle Daddy Tahole, and Son, are you just at Stan underscore Son? Is that right?
Okay. Correct. That's right.
Yeah, if any questions, you can hit us up there, or like I said, at basketball.rasball.com. Maybe we'll get you on one more time, too, before the season starts, Son, when you have to adjust the rankings.
Anytime,
or,
man.
Just one last thing to wrap it up. Have you planned out the RCLs at all yet?
Not yet. I'm going to have to start doing that. Probably, I don't know. Do you want to have some input on that?
Yeah, we'll,
Yahoo. You guys been doing Yahoo, right?
It was Yahoo last year. Yeah, we could talk. We'll talk about that off there at the end.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll try to collaborate.
I was planning on launching my hockey ones last Friday. By the time you hear this, in a day from when we're recording this, and I haven't had the time yet, so I got to figure out what website I'm going to do that on and everything yet. But enjoy the first. Enjoy football for everyone who's, reaching that. Hopefully your fantasy teams got off to a good start there. And now it's
night.
now it's time to start focusing on your basketball and hockey drafts, and we're here for you. So we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening, and take care, Son and Tail. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Take care, guys.